Some tech that can help us with climate change? Carpooling. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Cars and trucks are the single biggest source of greenhouse gas emissions in the country. And as we figure out tech to help us adapt to climate change, one obvious solution is to have fewer cars on the road. After a decade of trying to improve traffic, the real-time mapping app Waze has spent the last year trying to get its users to carpool. The app now hooks riders up with drivers who are commuting in the same direction. The riders pay a small fee that goes to the drivers. Waze says it's gotten about 500,000 people using the carpool feature, but it's not an easy sell. Noam Bardeen is CEO of Waze. He said, everyone knows traffic is bad for your health, your life, and the environment, but
the government's been trying to convince people to carpool since the Second World War, and it makes complete economic sense. But it's a hassle, and a lot of people won't do it. More than that, we've been told by billions of dollars of advertising money that our car is our identity, right? That this is who we are. And we've been told by our parents not to get into a car with strangers. So I'm asking you to forget everything you've been told and everything you've learned. Mm-hmm. And this is the number one challenge, to get people to take their first carpool. So what we try to do is limit the friction, make it as easy as possible to you. We give you all the information on the people. You can see who they are. You can decide, I only want to ride with someone from my gender. I only want to ride with someone from my company. Right? We give you all the tools to make the decision, and you're in control. At the same time, these are people that live next to you and work next to you. They probably have a lot more in common with you than you think.
So now, right now, you said you're not making money off of this, but you would presumably have to make it profitable in the future, right? How would that work?
So today, the rider actually pays a small fee, and that goes to the driver, right, to cover the costs. And right now, we're not taking any piece in that. Even more, sometimes we're actually subsidizing. Sometimes we're paying more to the driver than we are to the rider to create the density and get people to try it for the first time. Long term, we will take a piece of that transaction, right? Some kind of a fee off that money that's going in and out of our system.
Is the key going to be, though, in the future that it would have to be cheaper than Uber, say?
So that's always the case. We price ourselves much closer to public transit than to taxis, right? And that's the core of how we view. We view this as community-based public transit. It's a way for masses of people to cost-effectively move between the suburbs and the cities.
So I guess the obvious pushback is that four people in a car is better than one person in a car, but 400 people on a train or 40 people on a bus might be better. Should you be pushing to public transport?
So you're absolutely right, but let's be realistic. America does not have public transport, and it's not happening.
Yeah.
Now, we can all say it should happen, and it would be great if it happened, but it's not. And that's an important point. No one is coming to save us when it comes to traffic. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to do something about it ourselves, because there's no technology that's going to solve it. There's no government agency that's going to solve it. No big brother is going to come and save us. We have to take control of our destiny and do this ourselves.
In a way, it almost seems like it's because Waze is owned by Google and Alphabet, you have the luxury of introducing this product into a mapping app. You know, would it otherwise be at all a natural outcropping of the app that you originally created?
So our mission from day one was about fighting traffic. And so this is definitely an extension of our mission. You know, we look around today, everybody feels the traffic gets worse. You know, we see it statistically. There is no massive amount of infrastructure being built. And there really is no infrastructure that can solve this kind of demand challenges. And so this is a natural progression for Waze in terms of where we're going. We have about 130 million drivers every month that come in and use our service. If a fraction of them will leave their car at home, we can make a huge impact. But you're right. Alphabet gives us the capability to do things that are more longer term, right? We don't need to raise around next year. And I'm not a public company myself that has all the constraints of a public company. And we can make these longer term investments. If you look at Alphabet, their investment in Waymo, for example, the self-driving car, is the same kind of a thing. This is a long-term investment in things that most companies can't afford to do. And that's the great side of being part of Alphabet.
Do you think you're also capitalizing now on sort of a cultural shift? Like, it sort of feels like millennials and even people younger than millennials are a little more community minded. Are you finding a more receptive audience than you might have with, you know, people my age who just want to be alone in the car?
So that's interesting. First of all, some people always want to be alone in the car. But in the grand scheme of things, we're very much alone today, right? It used to be that you knew your neighbors, you knew people at the store, you knew stuff. Today, you're at home and Amazon delivers everything to your house. You don't know who your neighbors are. You drive to work by yourself in your car. We don't really have interaction with people. And this is the most interesting thing that happens with carpooling. People start, take their first ride because they want one of the hard values, but they stay for the soft values, for the people they meet, for the friendships, for interesting conversations they have, for first time I've ever met a Chinese person and I can have a discussion with them, or in India, I never had Indian food before and my rider now brings me Indian food and we talk about it. I mean, these kind of interactions used to be the way our society was built, but we've kind of forgotten about it with our screens. And so, yes, we're tapping into this feeling that millennials have about community or the need for community, but it's much wider than millennials. And that's what you really see when people start using the service. They create friendships, they create these micro communities, they take responsibility for each other in a way that's actually natural, but we kind of forgot it in our world of screens.
You know, I wonder too, one of the sort of standing criticisms of Waze, because the focus is really on finding a better route and more, you know, a quicker route, that it's funneled traffic onto side streets, or there's the Waze left where you're in LA and you suddenly have to make a left turn where there's no stoplight. It is removing more cars from the road also a way to sort of counter that problem, which is that there used to be streets that nobody knew about that all of a sudden everybody knows about thanks to Waze.
So, you know, we're kind of been branded as the problem here, but the problem is not really us. The problem is the fact there aren't enough roads. Mm-hmm. And we can see the data itself, and there are multiple apps that provide routing now. Everyone's going on surface streets. But really, it's people's attempt to do something about the fact that their commute is so terrible and it's continuing to get worse and worse and worse. So our commitment has always been, whatever the municipality decides, we're going to follow the laws. If that road is open and you're allowed to drive through it, we'll route through. If not, we won't. So to put the onus on us is interesting, but I would say if it's a legal street to drive through, we're going to take advantage of it, and it helps everyone. What you hear a lot is people complaining about driving through their neighborhood, but they're happy to drive to someone else's neighborhood, right? As society, we need to take advantage of all the infrastructure that we have, and these roads are there. Carpooling is obviously the next step about removing the cars. And long term, if we don't do that, no amount of surface streets are going to help, because we just have too many cars and not enough roads.
Noam Bardeen is CEO of Waze. And now for some related links. Maybe Noam should call up the Port Authority of New York. While researching this story, I discovered that the Port Authority is canceling its carpool discount at the George Washington Bridge, the Holland Tunnel, and the Lincoln Tunnel, which all funnel traffic into New York City. AAA says about 8,000 cars a day use those carpool lanes. Last week, I hosted Marketplace while Kai Rizdahl was gone, and I interviewed Nadia Popovich of the New York Times graphics team about the Times' detailed map of auto emissions across the U.S. It's an interesting map to play with, and at least in the Bay Area, it makes it really obvious how people fleeing the high cost of housing are now ending up with really long commutes from other parts of the region, which you can see reflected as rising emissions from cars and trucks. There's a link to that story on our website, marketplacetech.org. And apparently, climate change will not be on the agenda at the G7 meeting in June that's being held in Miami, which is currently sinking. But central bankers are talking about climate change. On Thursday, the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco published a document warning about serious financial risks from climate change and recommending adaptation, better assessment tools for things like flood risk, insurance innovation, and interestingly, podcasts. I'm going to assume that they mean ours. Oh, hey, speaking of which, our series, How We Survive, about climate and adaptation, can be found in this very podcast feed. Just scroll backwards or go to marketplace.org/climate. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.